listening to the Norfolk Chambers of Commerce podcast. We're connecting voices right across Norfolk.
Welcome to the Norfolk Chambers podcast. I'm your host, Hayes Carver, and in today's podcast, I'm chatting with Matt Plummer, Media and PR Manager for Each Charity.
Matt, before we talk about Each, we've recently launched our CoNext programme. This is an initiative we're working on to engage, empower and encourage young professionals in Norfolk under 35. I'd love to go back to when you started your career, because it's just interesting to find out how people got into the sectors and the roles they're in now. So could you tell me a little about that?
Yeah, of course, Hayes. So I think I was probably quite unusual in the sense that I had a rough idea what I wanted to do from a young age. I was still at primary school when I realised that I wanted to be a journalist and I wanted to write. It's just something that really interested me. I had an interest in the media. I had a big interest in sport. And I think it was when I realised that I wasn't going to be good enough to be a professional footballer that I thought, well, the next best thing perhaps would be to write about it. So
that happened quite early on then.
It did. I used to go to football matches with my dad and come home and write reports. And I just loved writing about sport. That's what I always wanted to do. I was quite fortunate, I think, in that I had a clear career pathway in my mind. So I went through school, I went to university, went to journalism college, and then I started working for my local newspaper, and I was a news reporter for a year. And then a position came up on our sports desk, which is, you know, was my big ambition. So I jumped at that opportunity and I ended up staying there for 20 years, just covering local sport, which was something that I got lots of pleasure from, and great opportunities and lots of traveling around the country and talking to interesting people. And then I went back into the newsroom for a year doing a different role. I was community content editor for my local newspaper. But in addition to the sport, I always had a feeling that I would love to work for a charity. That's something else that genuinely had interested me alongside the sport. The sport was an ambition, but working for a charity also really appealed, particularly a children's charity. I've got two boys of my own, so, you know, a real family man. I loved the idea of working for a children's charity. And then last summer, I saw a job advertised with East Anglia's Children's Hospices. And when I saw the job description online, sounds a bit cliche, but I just genuinely felt that it spoke to me. It really appealed to me. Every single bullet point on the advert sounded great to me.
And it sounds like it was tailor-made for you.
Well, I'd love to think so. It really was one of those moments. I was really, you know, when you might look at a job advert and you see bits and pieces within it, you think, well, I'd like that, but I'm not so sure about that, and I'm not sure if I could do that. I just felt a real connection with this particular piece that I saw straight away. I was really excited about it. I called my wife in to come and read it as well, and applied for the job and was lucky enough to get it. And I've absolutely thoroughly enjoyed it ever since.
And I guess all of those years of working in the role that you did, it was all about community, wasn't it? And those stories about people working together. So it's just a natural, amazing progression that you work for such a wonderful charity supporting families and children.
Absolutely. Community is such an important word. And I think that's one of the things I've always loved throughout my working life. I've really valued the feeling of community and people and the things that people do for each other, to look after each other and support each other. And I think that's my inclination as a journalist, really. I've never been a type of journalist that is interested in, you know, scoops and necessarily, you know, and all the kind of more gritty side of life. I've always loved, when I was a newspaper reporter, I loved things like the Golden Wedding anniversaries and the different charity events. And that's the kind of thing that really appeals to me.
It's the real life positive, and sometimes not so positive, but just the stories, isn't it? They're the interesting things that people relate to. I guess there's always I think with scoops, it's the clickbait and the drama behind things. And this is about real life and real people.
Yeah, I think so. And I really value that. I think that's so important. Just talking to people right in the heart of our community, as I'm fortunate enough to do in this role, you know, talking to people, colleagues, volunteers, obviously families that use the hospices. And it's just fascinating to hear their stories and their connection with Each. You know, people have such varied reasons, obviously, for being involved, different motivations for raising funds, or, you know, perhaps personally touched by situations. People give up their time to volunteer. There's so many different elements under the Each umbrella. And I just find every single one of them really genuinely interesting.
I think what's really interesting about your story is, obviously, we've done a few podcasts talking to people about CoNext and how they started their careers. And some people have said, well, I didn't want to go to university, so I knew that wasn't the route for me. Some people have said, you must go to university, it's amazing. And some people didn't know what their career path would be. So it's interesting to hear from age 5, 6, you knew, I'm not going to be a footballer. I'm going to be a journalist, and you just had that direction and that sight to just go ahead and do it. I think it's just really positive to have all these different directions that life can take, and it doesn't matter. You don't have to feel pressured into you must know at this age, or if you don't, it's a problem, or don't rush into something. So that's really interesting to hear.
Yeah, I remember at university, lots of people didn't know what they wanted to do. And so I suppose I always felt different in the sense that I did. But, you know, that's certainly not to say that people can't, you know, as you say, there's no pressure. I know lots of people that have changed careers. I think that probably happens more now than ever as well, you know, and there's so many opportunities and people, transferable skills, people can, you know, take skills from one career into another one. And it's exciting because there's just lots of opportunities if people are enthusiastic and are keen to learn and try something different. And sometimes, you know, you have to be quite bold, I guess, to make a change, because it's very easy to plod almost, isn't it? And just to continue with something because you think that's what you do and you're pigeonholed in a certain way. But yeah, there's so many opportunities to try different things. But
I like bold. I say,
for me, it was just different. Yeah, it's just funny the way it feels like my personal career has kind of followed a bit of a pathway. Yeah, really.
I love that. And I think the word bold actually sums it up perfectly. It doesn't matter what you want to do. Just be bold about doing it. Yeah. Just go for it. I love that. Thank you. I just wondered, is there any advice you'd have given? It doesn't sound like you need advice from when you were young, but is there any advice you'd give yourself if you could go back to you? Or is there a piece of advice that you think, actually, that's put me in good stead for my career?
Yeah, I think I always remember when I was training to be a journalist. So it stuck with me ever since. And I even say it to my boys now in terms of their lives and schoolwork and so on. Someone said to me, don't ever assume, otherwise you're making ass out of you and me. I think that for anyone in communications or journalism, it's never be afraid to ask questions. You know, there's no question that's silly or too obvious. And it's so, so important to get details correct. You know, if it's somebody's name, if somebody says their name is Katie, check the spelling of Katie. If they say Anne, has it got an E on the end? Never be afraid to ask questions, because it's vitally important to be accurate in everything that you do, because you're being trusted with information and you're relaying it to other people. You're sharing that information on behalf of somebody. So you've got to do it accurately. And I think the general advice I would give anyone, or I, you know, would have said to myself as a younger kind of up and coming journalist, is just be interested in people. You know, just listen to what they have to say and take great pride and pleasure in sharing their story, because it's a real privilege to be able to do that, particularly in the role that I'm in at the moment. Some of the stories I do, you know, talking to families, for instance, and they're entrusting you with very personal information and thoughts and emotions about things that they've either been through or are going through. And, you know, so I find myself in a position where a real sense of responsibility to them to relay their story accurately.
I think if you're a storyteller, you can't be not interested in people. You wouldn't be doing that job. It's almost that vocation, isn't it? If you don't like people and stories, why would you want to share them? We should just explain that you work for Each, the East Anglian Children's Hospices, an incredible charity, and it supports families and care for children and young people with life-threatening conditions, and that's across Cambridgeshire, Essex, Norfolk and Suffolk. And your job is media and PR manager for them. So let's talk about some of the projects that you've done, because obviously it's an amazing charity. It's one that's close to the Chamber's hearts. We're now, again, for the second year, donating our profits from our paddleboarding sessions to the hospice. So we're hoping for a really busy summer, and they're selling out really well. So we're always glad. And actually, I've been lucky enough to go to the Nook and have a tour. I think that was just after the Duchess of Cambridge went. So it's an amazing space. So yes, let's talk about your role there and what you do.
Yeah, sure. So as you say, I'm a media and PR manager for Each. So I produce content on behalf of the organisation. So that would include press releases. I try to, wherever possible, try and release a press release every working day. It could cover any aspect of the organisation. It might be a fundraising story. I mean, we're talking about community there, and some of the things that people do to raise money for Each, you know, it's incredible. And I love those stories. There's some absolutely brilliant things that people do, real endurance things, runs, walks. It's absolutely fantastic to hear what people are doing and why they're doing it. You know, I love that. That's something I feel really passionately about, and I really enjoy sharing those stories. I write about the different events that we have, Each events. They're obviously very, very important in terms of raising funds for the charity. Things like the peer-to-peer walk in Norfolk, that's coming up. That's a big one. There's various things that happen throughout the year, particularly this time of year when the weather's better, and it's lovely to write about. Another one that might be of interest for members is the Norwich Bubble Rush. That's on the 16th of July. So that's a really lovely family-friendly event. But it's
What's a bubble rush?
Well, it's great. great fun. I haven't been to one myself, but I've seen the pictures and they look fantastic fun. They're for families, children, adults as well, going through an obstacle course, running a course, but there's various bubble cannons.
Oh, I was thinking of bubble tea bubbles, but it's foam bubbles, isn't it? Foam bubbles. Of course I know that.
Yeah, so they make for some brilliant pictures. We've had them before. We had one in King's Lynn recently, and yeah, they look huge fun, and children love them, of course. So, but these events, we had the Ride for Life recently as well, which was a cycling event throughout East Anglia. They're really, really important in terms of raising funds and just general awareness. You know, they're very important. So that's another area of my job. The retail side of the Each operation is another big source of stories. We have 44 shops all across East Anglia, and you know, again, using the community word, they're right in the heart of the towns within our area. You know, across Norfolk, across Suffolk, Cambridgeshire, and into North Essex as well. You know, those shops are a real focal point, and there's lots of good stories to be had there.
So nice that now they're all open and people can start taking things there again. You know, it's been a tricky, difficult couple of years, and I guess that's why, with all the fundraising, people just want to do crazy things because they can get out and mix and do all of that.
Yeah, it does feel a bit like that, actually. I think there's a genuine giddiness that we're actually released to do these things again, and like you say, I've got the ability and freedom to organize these different events. It's absolutely brilliant, as you say, after the challenges of the last couple of years, to be able to do things like that again. So yeah, so certainly that side of my job is one of my favorites, the fundraising side.
And with the shops, you recently did the We Need You stories, so obviously volunteers, that's how you man those shops. Yeah. Is that a big drive to get more people working there?
Yeah, it really is. And the volunteers are, and that's another area of my job, I love talking to the volunteers, because you know, the shops wouldn't function without volunteers. There's no two ways about it. If it wasn't for these incredible people giving up their time willingly, you know, donating mornings, afternoons, full days to come into the shops and help, the shops just wouldn't function. You know, they just wouldn't be viable. The people that do volunteer, I mean, they're just the loveliest people. And again, it's just, I really enjoy talking to them about why they do it. Some people have got a personal connection to Each, you know, and that's obviously makes it very personal to them as to their reasons. Other people just have a real respect and warmth towards the charity, and they just want to support Each in any way they can, even if that just means, you know, giving up a morning every couple of weeks. You know, that's invaluable. I think sometimes people perhaps think that unless they can commit a couple of days a week or something, that it, you know, that's no good to us. But like I say, just a morning or an afternoon every other week can make a massive difference.
Well, if everybody did that, you would only probably need to do half an hour a day, because everyone would split it up, and that's the point. I guess it's just so lovely for you to be working with enthusiastic and passionate people who want to share their stories. I think that it's kind of like a gift if you're a journalist wanting those stories.
Yeah, definitely. And you're right, people love, sometimes people I think are a bit, that they're so selfless and so kind that they perhaps don't feel that it's anything to, you know, to shout about as such. But I do want to shout about their contribution, because it's so valued. And I think it's quite endearing sometimes when people don't, you know, don't necessarily. And I have had instances like that where people are a bit more reluctant, a bit shyer to talk about their what they do. But it's absolutely worth shouting about, because like I say, these people are brilliant. And you're right, it's lovely because people are really enthusiastic about Each. And that's something else I've noticed since I've been in the role, not just volunteers, staff as well, my colleagues. When people talk about Each, genuinely, their eyes light up. I think people have such affection and such a connection with the charity, that with the organisation, that they just actually really feel proud to be involved in whatever way they are. There's a genuine sense of pride that you know, that they do their bit, whether that's as a member of staff or as a volunteer.
Your well-being must be kind of through the roof, your mental well-being, because you're just surrounded by lovely people just doing incredible work.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, I it sounds a bit cheesy, doesn't it? But it genuinely, that's been my experience since September, when I started last year. You know, people, like I say, they really do feel very at home and very comfortable and very passionate about
it. And I guess also there's so many different ways you can support. You can volunteer, and the different events that you do, there's something, it's not just a skydive, although that's amazing. There's so many other different ways you can do it. So many different stories. People now are time poor, aren't they? So you can do do a little bit, a little and often, even with the corporate fundraising, payroll giving. I mean, I think that's an incredible way to get involved if you're, but you want to support the charity.
Yeah, completely right. You know, there are so many ways. There's so many things that people can do to support each. There's such a variety. And as you say, you know, the bigger, grander things that might perhaps, you know, catch the headlines, you know, in terms of things like skydives or great big endurance events. But there are numerous ways and things that people can do. And a bit like the volunteering, you know, every little bit helps, you know, everything that people can contribute, whatever it may be, whether it's time, whether it's money, a donation of some description, helping with a bucket collection, you know, whatever it may be, it all helps, which is vitally important.
And there's so many commercial opportunities as well, isn't there? We know that we keep talking about community, but the Norfolk business community is a really caring, thriving, energetic space. And I know lots of businesses are involved, local businesses and across the country, but corporate fundraising is just really important to the charity.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of the, you know, the press releases I've written since I started last year have been about various businesses and the things that they do. And again, you know, the risk of repeating myself, you know, that genuine commitment to help is just overwhelming. It's absolutely brilliant. You know, the things that people do, small businesses, bigger businesses, you know, different things that members of staff do. And it's really, really important. And it's lovely because, as you rightly say, that the business community, you know, it is clearly a huge part of the bigger community. So it's lovely to have that kind of input and that connection with the businesses in Norfolk and beyond.
One of the quirky ones that you'd sent me was a press release you did on scrap metal from coffin nails and hip joints from Cromer Crematorium. I don't think I could have even ever thought of that. How did that work?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a great example. I mentioned like the variety earlier of the press releases, and that's a real prime example, I think, of one that has probably comes under the, you know, in the quirky category, doesn't it, really?
Very quirky.
Yeah, as you say, it was basically scrap metal from coffins and joints in people. I mean, it, you know, it sounds, you know,
really
a bit strange,
doesn't it?
It definitely does sound that way, but that scrap metal was sent away, and in exchange, you know, a very healthy check came back, and that money was donated to each, which is astonishing, really. What an unusual way to donate money, but it really underlines.
Well, I feel like it's in keeping with upcycling, recycling.
Yes. It certainly ticks that box as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and it gives you guys the money that you need to help support the families. One of the things I love was the sibling days, where the children could go on a ski slope, and that was obviously in Norwich. That's amazing to support not just the children and the parents, but the siblings too.
Yeah, I think that's one of the areas, and I must be honest, until I started working for it, I didn't really know about sibling days. I didn't know that kind of thing happened, but I've written about a few now since I've been with the organisation, and you're right, it's so important. And I love the fact that emphasis is put on the whole family, and that obviously includes siblings. And the ski slope sounds fantastic. That was a really, you know, fun day. There's been others in Cambridge where the children have gone to the Fitzwilliam Museum and the Botanic Gardens. In Suffolk, they had a trip to Jimmy's Farm, and it's really fantastic. And again, speaking to the parents about the sibling days, they say that it really makes such a difference, you know, that their children really look forward to those days. They enjoy being around other children perhaps going through similar things. You know, where they have a brother or a sister receiving care at one of the hospices, and obviously, you know, they might not have that, you know, option to talk to children at school about what they're going through. But in that instance, on a sibling day, they do have that opportunity. And I think they find that's very, very helpful. They get lots from them, and they're really valuable. And I think it's just a lovely thing that the children can have that time together and have fun together.
I think it is. And when we look at obviously it's a really difficult and it can be a traumatic subject topic and situation for families to go through. But I think what comes through with all the support and the stories you write about is that people just want to help and do it in a fun way, so it isn't, I mean, it is a terrible situation to be in a difficult one, but if you can do it in such a way that you're supporting and helping those families and actually celebrating all the lives that you're caring for, then I think that really comes through with everything that each does.
Yeah, and I think that's, if I had to pick you know, choose one thing that's really struck me about working for each, it's the perception of a hospice and a children's hospice. I think various people have said, you know, family members have said to me, you know, that they've admitted that they had a real misconception about what a hospice entailed, you know, before actually coming along. And I think people probably thought they were depressing places, gloomy places, places where there's a bit of a rain cloud, you know, hovering above. And from my experience and also listening to others, absolutely nothing could be further from the truth. They're such happy places, actually, really positive, loving places. And of course, sad things happen on occasions. But, you know, generally speaking, they really are places where it's about celebrating life.
And the Nook, it's such a bright, open space. I love the play area right in the centre. I've never seen so many toys, so many comfy beanbags, so many books, so much for children and their families to do. It feels like the world's best playgroup. It really is a beautiful space.
Yeah, it is. You know, as soon as you arrive at any of the, we've got three hospices, one in, as you say, the Nook, also the Treehouse in Ipswich and at Milton near Cambridge. And as soon as you pull up at any of them, they're all set in beautiful grounds. The Nook obviously is particularly in beautiful grounds. It's a very tranquil setting, and it's just a lovely place to be. And then as soon as you step through the doors, as you say, there's the colourful, bright, breezy places. Everyone's friendly. You know, there's so many things there, as you say, for the children. They're just, you know, that's the thing. I think, like I say, I think people, myself included, I certainly admit that, you know, had a genuine misconception about what a children's hospice would be like. I thought it would be perhaps a sad place. And generally speaking, like I say, they're really happy places. They're about making the most of life. They're about enjoying life, creating memories. And what a beautiful thing.
We're totally in awe of everybody who works there, of you for shouting out the stories, for amazing Caroline Allen, who's recently been promoted, hasn't she, to senior corporate fundraiser, which is incredible.
Yeah, deservedly so.
Yeah, very deservedly so. So we're just so proud that we can support you. And with our paddleboarding, that's with Mark Keeler from Keeler Recruitment. So, you know, anything that the Chamber can do to help support you guys and the Norfolk community in raising awareness, that's exactly what we're here for to do. Matt,
it's much appreciated as well, Hayes.
Well, thank you, because I know my email inbox is always pinging and the marketing inbox is always pinging with these stories, and we just read them. You know, it's a pleasure to share them on our website for everybody and to put them through our social accounts. So thank you so much. Oh. Matt, it's been fascinating talking to you. And thank you for the Co-Next at the beginning. I love that you knew what you wanted to do at 5. I think that's amazing. And please keep sending us your stories. We think they're amazing.
Oh, no problem. I certainly will do. And thank you for inviting me to have a chat. And thank you to everyone for all their help and contributions, because it really does make the world of difference. And it's much, much appreciated.
You've been listening to the Norfolk Chamber of Commerce podcast. Connecting, supporting and giving voice to every business in Norfolk.